Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Mark chapter 7. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." This is the text. Last week, I mentioned how Mark emphasizes the shift that Jesus makes in his ministry, moving away from the Jews and turning his attention to the Gentiles. And Jesus, as we have seen, he's been debating with the Pharisees concerning their traditions, not against the idea of traditions, because as we see, many traditions are good. But he speaks against putting traditions over and above the Word of God. So as we've been reading along through Mark's Gospel all during these summer months, and especially these last few weeks with Mark chapter 7, we've been hearing about Jewish hand-washing rituals and dietary laws and such. And as we've been doing that, we've been reading corresponding portions of the prophet Isaiah. Like we heard last week, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." When you follow through in Isaiah, this morning we hear the response God gives to the complaint he has against Old Testament Israel. He says through the prophet Isaiah that when he is ready to put his divine plan into action, God tells the people that there will be signs that he is putting his divine plan into action. The Messiah, when he comes, there will be signs. Oh, like the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, and the mute tongue will sing for joy. A few weeks ago, we heard that he would turn Lebanon, which historically a portion of which was the land of the Philistines, kind of the enemy of Israel. He will turn it into a fruitful field. Part of that land of the Philistines in Jesus' day is called Syrophoenicia. So the first thing we hear about in Jesus' debate with the Pharisees is that he goes and he casts out a demon in a girl who is Syrophoenician. She is Syrophoenician by birth, Mark makes sure to emphasize. She is the descendants of Philistines from Lebanon. And he turns around then, we hear in immediately after that, and goes to the region of the Decapolis and heals a man who is deaf and mute. This is the fulfillment of prophecy right before the eyes of the disciples. And we read this account of the Syrophoenician woman, and yeah, it seems really uncomfortable when Jesus says, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And as much as we want to explain away what Jesus said, he said what he said. And yes, he was referring to those Gentiles, and that woman in particular, metaphorically speaking, being a dog. But this has Old Testament precedent. She is Syrophoenician, from the land of the Philistines, the unbelievers, those outside of the kingdom of God. They are referred to as dogs throughout the Old Testament. The imagery is used by Jesus here in the Gospels, and even at the very end of Revelation, those who are outside of the New Jerusalem are referred to as dogs, because that's where dogs dwelt back in those days. They were generally wild, and they lived outside of the city, fed on the garbage that was thrown outside of the city walls. they had no place within the cities in Israel. They were an unclean, outcast animal. Now, among the Gentiles, you did have a little bit of domesticating going on, and obviously the image of the dog eating crumbs that falls from the children's table does have a place within Gentile society, but not among the Jews. But even more, this woman, being from the land of the Philistines, who is the most famous Philistine? Well, Goliath, of course. And when David went out to confront Goliath, what did Goliath say? He says to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And David could have rightly said, "Yes. Yes, you are." But he was not a dog simply because he was a Gentile. And this is the point that Jesus is going to make and Mark makes in how he tells the story. I mean, after all, Uriah the Hittite was among the most faithful of all the men that ever lived in Israel. Goliath was a dog because he was an uncircumcised unbeliever. He was outside of the gates of the kingdom of God. It is not right to take the treasure of God's grace, meant for God's children, and throw it to the dogs. Now, this is not saying that the word of God should not be preached to unbelievers. That's not what he's saying here. It is not right to give to the unbelievers the benefits of the treasure of the bread of life, forgiveness, salvation, eternal life. It is not right to give that to them when they do not have the bread of life, who is Jesus Christ. What this woman shows in her response is that she is not an unbeliever. She values the word of Jesus. Unlike all those folk back in Jerusalem who think that faith in God is all about eating the right kinds of foods or washing your hands in a certain way. Now, in Matthew's gospel, this exchange between Jesus and the Syrophoenician woman, it's more detailed. Jesus even goes on to say, "Woman, you have great faith." What Mark emphasizes, starting here in chapter 7, all throughout this chapter, what he emphasizes is that the Son of God has entered into this world for the sake of the whole world. Even Philistine dogs who eat things like ham and bacon and don't wash their hands in the way the Jews do. Christ died for them. Don't ever look at anyone and say, "Oh, that person is hopeless. Just forget about them." No, Christ is the hope of the world. And Christ died for them just as much as he died for you and me. So from there, Jesus and the disciples go to the region of the Decapolis, the region of the 10 cities. The most well-known of the largest of them was Damascus. The crowds of people start following him, just like they did in Galilee. And immediately after our reading today, starting in Mark chapter 8, you get the feeding of the 4,000. He's there in Gentile country. And he eats with them, has fellowship with them, just like he did the 5,000 in Israel. In the first half of Mark's gospel, you get Jesus performing miracle after miracle, showing the people of Israel that he is God. He is the one spoken of through Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. And the people of Israel, they think that they will be righteous before God simply by who they are. We are children of Abraham. We have Abraham as our father. And they think that they are righteous by what they do, because they don't eat those unclean things the way the Gentiles do. And what you find is they are not looking for the grace of God or the mercy of God or the forgiveness of sin. So Jesus turns to the Gentiles, to those who know that they have no right to claim righteousness. They have no right to stand before the Lord, and they beg Jesus for mercy and compassion. And Jesus heals the man who is deaf and mute. And Jesus performs miracle upon miracle, just like he did in Israel. And just like he did before, we see that he often uses creative means to bestow his grace. When he comes upon this man who is deaf and mute, he could have just spoken a word, snapped his fingers, done whatever, and he would be healed. Instead, he put his fingers into his ears, and then he spit on his own fingers and touched the man's tongue. Ew. That makes us more uncomfortable than even the dog reference to the Syrophoenician girl. Why would he do this and not simply speak a word of healing? Well, God is very consistent in how he deals with his people and how he distributes his grace. Now, quite often, the distribution of God's grace comes by him utilizing something in the physical world, using some physical vehicle for that grace. Baptism and Holy Communion, certainly prime examples of this in our life. You see this, though, all over the Old Testament. This is nothing new. God hasn't, like, changed his mind about how he does things over time. You look back into the Old Testament, Naaman, the Syrian, was told to wash 7 times in the Jordan River to get rid of his leprosy. The prophet could have just spoken the word and it would be done. For the Jews to be ceremonially cleansed, they would take the ash from this sacrificed heifer, this cow, and it would be mixed with water, and you would wash yourselves in that. You know, like ashy water was going to make you cleaner. But in God's eyes, it did, because there was grace that was attached to that. Moses was told to make a bronze snake and put it on a pole, and when the people looked at it, they would be healed if any of them had been bitten by a snake. And we could go on and on. The point being, God uses means. This is how he has always chosen to come to his people. This is how he has chosen to come to the dogs of this world, to those who are outcast and outside of the kingdom. Those who have no right to stand in righteousness. And he has come to us in specific, miraculous ways and has washed us clean with the waters of baptism. And he feeds us with much more than crumbs from the children's table. He feeds us with the flesh and blood of the Son of God. He feeds us with the bread of life, and we have life because Christ died even for the dogs like us. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.